time restraint, and we don't have to be out here till 1. That wouldn't be a constraint, would it? No. Okay. Talking about a new creation, just wanted to quickly say that they left because Gary is not doing as well as he was, so let's continue to remember them. We talked about this in 2 Corinthians 5, but this new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And as a result of that, he said, we no longer look at each other as in the flesh. We realize we've been created to be something new. We are totally changed. Now, all things are of God, who reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. And certainly we can understand that. In Galatians 6:15, he talks about it isn't a matter of the physical under the law of Moses. That has totally changed. It's not circumcision or uncircumcision anymore, but a new creation. So when we think about this, there's some implications. If it's a new creation, what could he possibly be talking about? When I think of another creation, a physical one, in Genesis 1:1, where in the beginning God created. What we find from this is that there was a physical creation of all that we know and all that we can possibly see. In Romans 1:19 and 21, he clearly says that his invisible attributes can be seen through these things. That as we look at this physical creation, you can clearly see God in all of this, that you can clearly see the wisdom and all the order and how everything works and the beauty of all that he's created. You can totally understand that, he says. But this one is not a physical creation. When we look at Galatians 6 and we read the context there, he says, starting with verse 12 of Galatians 6, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. In other words, they're more concerned about their physical life than they are their spiritual life. For even those who are uncircumcised, or who are circumcised, keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. It does not matter one way or the other. It does not matter. It's not a matter of law. You can make a personal choice what you want to do, but it has nothing to do with law anymore. But what does is a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble you, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He said, I have totally changed. I am a new creation. I have changed from what I was before. But it is God that performs this. As we found, we are His workmanship. And in Colossians 2, the same thing, that it is through God that we accomplish all these things, that it is through what He has done for us that we can do these things. What He's basically doing in each one of us, and excuse how I'm going to say this, it's taking nothing and creating something. He has taken me of no value and has made me into something He wanted me to be. And that's what He's trying to tell us. That He didn't create it from something that was already beautiful and wonderful, but that was needful of the new creation. In Philippians 3, this was commented on this morning by Brad in talking about the physical. He talks totally about his physical life on this earth. How he could pat himself on the back if that was what was important. And he could say, I am that. Look who I was. Look who I... But he said, I count all those things as rubbish. Trash. Waste for Jesus Christ. None of those things any more important. I have totally changed. I am a new creation. None of those things you'll see in me anymore. I'm not about that anymore. So we want to talk about adorning this new creation. As Christians, I want you to think about this for a moment. There's an adorning that needs to go on. What about in the first creation? Turn to Genesis 1, and I want you to think about the beauty of what He did when He adorned this first creation. He first made the earth, and it was without form and void. And what we see Him doing as He creates this earth, He just didn't create some blank slate and leave it like that. What He did was so beautiful. When we think about it, look at that. The beauty of the earth, a place He created for humans to live. And what does He say about this? He says in He called the dry land earth in verse 10, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. It's God's doing this. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit trees that yield fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so, it can reproduce. Procreation, if you will. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Look at the beauty of this and how he didn't just create something that as we walk around we go, ugh, wow, that's pretty ugly. Actually, as we walk around we say, ooh, that is absolutely beautiful. As we were driving a couple weeks ago and through these beautiful places, just tree lines as you drive down the highway is all you could see. And I thought of the beauty of everything we saw, of what God had done. And I am in awe of it and amazed by every bit of it. Just everything that he created. And as we look around, we see these beautiful things. God just didn't leave this way. He adorned it. He made it beautiful in the old creation, the first creation. He adorned the firmaments, the heavens. We don't look up at the sky and just see blank. As we look up at the sky, we see, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let there be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, and I do not have those up there, but the greater light to rule the day and the lesser night to rule the night. He made the stars also. I tell you, I go out at night and I'm just in amazement how he's adorned the heavens for us just to look at and be in awe of him. He didn't need to do that, but he wanted to do that to show us his great power and the order and the wisdom in all that he did. And God set in the firmament of the heavens to give light over the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and that's the Milky Way, just a part of all his creation. And when we look at those things, he adorned the waters as well. He didn't leave those blank. When we look at the waters, it said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, things I don't even know what they are, and you don't either, and they're still finding them. Why would he do such a thing? Because he wanted us to be in awe of him, to see all these beautiful things and understand that they're kept by his power. And let birds fly above the heavens and the firmament of the heavens. But we see these sea creatures and these blue whales, just magnificent creatures. And every time I see them, I just go, and Cody had a smile there. I had smiles on my face every time I see these beautiful creatures. And he adorned the earth even more. He didn't leave it at that. He finally adorns it with what he wanted to be the crowning achievement of his creation. And he left that creation to choose for itself, this part of it. The rest of it, it's going to do everything as he's programmed it to do, but not this part. Let us make man in our image. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And he wanted this to be the crown, the beauty of what he had created. As we look around and I look at all those people, and I actually picked out someone that looks kind of like me in that picture. And when I thought about it, I thought, there I am in the middle of a crowd of millions and billions of people that lived on the face of this earth. And he meant for that to be the beauty of his creation, the crown, to rule over everything else until he chose a time when that would end. And when we look at this, then he did more than that. He didn't leave humans to adorn themselves. They first did not have clothing on. But when they ate of that fruit and suddenly knew the difference between right and wrong, they understood that they didn't need to be walking around this way even though they were husband and wife. They realized a lot of things when that happened. And once we finally get to the point where God says, this is not enough. And Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. He meant for them to be adorned in clothing. In the new creation, I can't adorn myself. I cannot change myself. I cannot wash away my sins. In the new one, he can. He did exactly the same thing. He's adorned me by removing my sins. He took the filth away from me. Just as he would say, not the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. And in 1 Peter 1:18, it is by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It took his death to get that away from me, to get that filth off of me. Not filth that you could see, necessarily. Not that I was walking around and I had dirt on my face. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the fact that he removed the filth of sin from me forever through my obedience. But in addition to that, For as many of us have been baptized in Christ, have put on Christ. We actually put Christ on. The beauty of this is, it's Christ being put on me. Him taking away my sins, and the image of Him being shown through me. Did I do that? Absolutely not. I would struggle with anything like this. But God did it through my obedience. And He adorned us in white. He not only took away sins, but He gave us this new clothing. The spiritual clothing. A clothing of cleanliness. A clothing that takes away sins and continues to take away sins as long as I will be in obedience to His will. In Revelation 3:5, He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out His name from the book of life, but I will confess His name before my Father which is in heaven. And then He talks about further adornment. That the beauty of all this is that it's not just in this life that I can be adorned. But He's made a promise that He has prepared something for me. Me personally. This new creation that He made, not me, making myself. And He says in 2 Corinthians 5, 2 and 3, you remember me using Romans 8 earlier, for in this we groan. If we truly understand, as we look around and see God in everything, we will understand we need to grope for Him, seek Him out. And once we find Him, we need to change our lives. Because He's promised something. That you can now see why we no longer look on people in the flesh. We look at them as a new creation. Why? For this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. He is so anxious, Paul is, for that day. When he can have this further clothing, he would talk about it in Philippians 3. He would talk about the fact that his citizenship is in heaven. That's what he has, and that all spiritual blessings he has. He has been clothed with this. Do we really understand what God has done for us? Do we really understand the difference He's made in us? Do we really understand what we should have become and what we need to become? If that's the case, then we need to adorn ourselves. We do have the ability to do some adorning. He has made it possible through His Word. He starts this process. He makes us a new creation through our obedience. But there's something we need to put on. One of those things that we need to be putting on ourselves that people should be able to clearly see is humility. He talks about this is more of a struggle, as he points out sometimes with younger people. But he points this out. He says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yet all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And what he's saying is that when we look at Mike, we see a humble person. Is it because Mike, as a physical being, would want to be that way necessarily? It's not in our nature. We want to be the one. But he knows that's what's necessary, and he understands his life, that it is through God's grace that he became this new creation, and thus he needs to put on humility. But we have to do some further putting on of Christ. We can't just go through life and saying, well, I put on Christ in baptism, and I'm through. No, we're not. That's not the end of it. In Romans 13, verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. What's he talking about? If we put on Christ, there's not room for my lustful desires. I can't have room for them in me. I cannot have both put on me. I have a choice in life. I can do one or the other. And he talks about in Ephesians 4:24 about putting on true righteousness and holiness. That is a responsibility on our part to be holy even as He is holy. We have to make sure that we change our lives, that we clean up our lives, that we become what He wants us to be. And He says for them to do some things. And He says, starting with verse 20, that they had not so learned Christ. That they understood this about Jesus Christ. That you need to put off concerning your former conduct. You need to get some things away from you which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created by you. No, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. It was God's choice that I live this way. To be this new creation, I have to put this on. And Ephesians 6:11 says, in addition to that, I need to put on the whole armor of God. And as you look through the armor there, you find that this armor is right here. This is my armor. This is what I defend myself with. This is what I also actively go out and use to talk to others about. This is it. This is my whole armor. It needs to be seen in me. That is the new creation. And then I have to then look around, and I cannot be haughty. I cannot say, well, look at me, what I've done. Look at what God did for me. No, not at all. In fact, it's just the opposite. I don't understand why God loves me so much. I don't understand why He loved me so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Do you? I don't understand how that could possibly be that such a great sacrifice was given for me. That it caused... my sins caused His death on the cross. And so, thus, as a result of that, I need to have tender mercy. If He's that merciful to me, Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Therefore, as the elect of God, talking to Christians, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. When we look at others, be merciful to them. Understand where they are. Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. I have to have all these things in my life if I expect to stay that new creation that He has wanted me to be and has made me to be. And then there's some internal adornment. In 1 Peter 3, he talks to women, and he says to them, be very careful. If you're so concerned about your outward appearance, think again. If that outward appearance is not reflective of your inner appearance, then you're doing it for the wrong reason. And so as a result of that, he says, let when people look at you, and even husbands, let them be won by the Word and your chaste conduct. Because here's what's important. Do not let your beauty be that outward adorning of arranging the hair, of wearing gold, or putting on fine or apparel. He's saying, well, women, you don't need to worry about any of that. No, he's not talking about that at all. He's not talking about not doing things to... it's wrong to wash your hair. It's wrong to take care of yourself. It's wrong to... he's saying don't let that be the only thing you've got going on. Don't let that be what primarily people see, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. And he says that's the way they had lived in the past. And then put on proper physical clothing. To show this, there is an importance in our clothing. And he would tell them in 1 Timothy 2, 8 through 10. Therefore I desire that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. This adornment and this discussion of this is also the same things he talks about in his physical creation and how he adorned it. And he's saying, look to it and you'll see what I did. Look to it and you'll know how you need to act as well. Therefore, we must not, since I have to be done at 1 o'clock, focus on the past. See, here's what happens to us. We become a Christian, and then if we don't watch it, Satan wiggles in and he goes, you haven't changed very much. You're not doing what you need to do. You know, look who you were. Why? You really think God would accept someone like you? You really think that He cares about you? Well, look how you lived your life. And I don't care who we are, we all sinned. We all fell short of the glory of God. So we look at our life and we go, well, you know, I'm not much. You know, and we hang our head, and Paul said, don't do that. Don't do that. Paul said, of all people, if I did that, I'd be worthless. Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God. Put them past you. You can't live the past. It's over. It's done. Don't worry about it. Don't concern yourself with what people might think. Because I'll tell you what, people aren't going to be our judge. People are not what makes us a new creation. You used to be what God wants you to be today. And if someone says to you, but look how you used to be, say, and that is a point that Paul makes. They said, he says, look at that one that used to go out and persecute Christians about him. And Paul said, not me. Not anymore. I have totally become a new creation. Don't even concern yourself about that. God has forgiven me. It is all in the past. And then another thing, we must not ever become stagnant. I tell you, if we've reached a point where we've reached our plateau, there is no plateau. It's all doing and going all the time. The first thing they want you to do anymore, it seems like after they operate on you, is get up and do some walking around, do some things. They want you to get back to doing things. Why? Because if you stay there and you don't do anything, not going to help you at all. Your body will not heal itself. We realize now how much we need to be going and doing things. In Acts 14, 21 and 22, it is so important that we keep on keeping on. 21 and 22, and when they had preached the gospel in that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. What were they doing? Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Think about this for a moment. It'll never end for us. We need to always be practicing and doing the things He's told us to do, increasing in our knowledge and in our wisdom until the time we leave this life, and then we get our rest. He means for us to make this clear to others. We are a new creation. We need to be that example of one who does that. We need to make sure that we live that in our lives. And we must never, ever adorn ourselves with sin again. Now, will we sin? Yes. But adorn ourselves with it? No. When we sin, we pray for forgiveness. We repent, confess, and pray, and we constantly are doing this, I know, as Christians. But if we're living in sin and claiming to be a Christian, you cannot have those two things in the same body, because Christ will not be in you. He will not be in me. And the Bible's clear about this. I will have lost my relationship with Him. As a matter of fact, it's compared to something that is disgusting to us. In 2 Peter 2, he says, be very careful with your life. He says, Abe, don't ever step out there again. Don't live in sin. Because if you do, there's no room for me there. For if, after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what made us understand about the pollutions that were in the world? Well, our Lord and Savior did. They are again entangled to them and overcome. The latter end is worse than the beginning. Why? Because they knew and still went out and lived in sin. He said, Abe, don't ever do that. Keep it away from you. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it's happened to them, according to the proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit. And I don't know about the rest of you. I've observed this several times in my life, and not one time has that looked appetizing to me at all. It is very disgusting. I have no idea why they do that other than God created them to do that, and they can do that. But I don't know of any of us that thinks of that in our life as something that is beautiful. I want you to get this picture in your mind what he's talking about. The filth back on your mouth and devouring it again. Is that really palatable to you at all? So that's not, but I'll engage in sin and live in it. Does that make any sense that now that I'm a new creation or a new creature that I do this? Or a sow, having been washed, goes back to wallow in the mire? Now, I know pigs do this for a reason. I understand that. But it's still not a... You can watch them do it. They'll go in, they'll get so clean, and the next thing you know, they're over there in the mud, and they're just wiggling around in that mud and getting right down in it and trying to get as much of it as on them as they can. You know why? It keeps them cool. But you know what? It ain't cool when we, as a Christian, wallow back in that same filthy mud of sin and get it all over us again. And you really think that He's going to consider us as a new creation. We don't like it when people mess up His physical creation. We don't like it when they just go out and destroy it for no reason whatsoever. Every time I hear of someone starting a fire and burning down hundreds of acres of timber, it is very discouraging to me. But that'll grow back. But when people destroy their own souls through their desires to do what they want to do, His new creation, He never wants us to do that. Think differently about yourself today. Realize what He's done for you. Realize what He's done for me. This new creation, what a blessing it is. As I think about this, I think so much about my own life and how I need to concentrate on this entirely, and I need to let others know what they will receive in Christ. People say, well, do you see it? Well, you don't in the sense of you just walk up to someone and you know whether they're a Christian or not. But I can tell you one thing. There's many times we can walk up and know they're not. Or if they are supposed to be, they're not living the way they should. How do we know things like that? We look at people and we look at their lives and we can understand and know that it's changed. They're not going to live that way anymore. And that's why we have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We stay away from them. We don't want to get that on us anymore. We are His new creation. So, have you done what Jesus has told you to do today? Have you been obedient to His Word? Again, we try to make it simple. If you have any needs, please let us know while we stand and sing.